So, Joe Courtney, there have been some reforms to the No Child Left Behind Act, and I know you were a Courtney, one of your bills, a Courtney bill, was part of the recent vote. Tell us about it.
So, again, No Child Left Behind actually technically is called the Elementary Secondary Education Act, which is sort of the federal farm bill for K through 12 education. It's a five-year policy bill. Unfortunately, it's been horrendously behind schedule. The last ESEA was when No Child Left Behind was passed under President Bush in 2001, and you can do the math. We haven't passed a new one since. So, I mean, among the many other problems that needed to be updated and modernized, which I'm sure you've had, lots of guests talk about over the year in terms of, over-testing and, too much, one-size-fits-all kind of measurements of school success. Another reason why you need to update these laws is just that, the economy has changed. Our workforce has changed since 2001. And if you go out and talk to businesses of almost every stripe, they will tell you that, we really have got to get our game up in terms of core hard science skills and math skills, STEM, as it's called, science, technology, engineering, and math, and that, we really are just not sort of hitting all cylinders as far as getting kids ready for that, particularly, certain populations. We're still seeing a lot of, women who are by the time they hit high school are just sort of not, pursuing STEM types of curriculums. And the same is true of minority students. And if you step back and look at the U.S. economy right now in terms of where job creation is, it's like 3-1 in terms of STEM versus non-STEM. And in terms of income, STEM is 2-1 in terms of, the value of those skills. And again, I was a history major, so I believe in liberal arts and all that. But there's no question that, if you step back and look at the data and compare it to what's going on in other parts of the world, it really is something that, at the time we're rewriting this law, we needed to, give school districts more tools to do that. So the bill incorporates a measure that we worked on in committee. Again, I'm on the Education Committee to, allow federal funds to be used at school district level for boosting STEM. One of the big issues is recruitment. People with those kinds of skills have a lot of options other than teaching, which they can pursue. So there's a Master STEM Teacher Corps program that's going to be, stood up at the U.S. Department of Labor. Again, optional. It's not mandated for school districts, but a way of attracting more talented people into those areas. And frankly, also giving school districts, flexibility in terms of federal funds to sort of start up STEM programs, again, reaching back into the younger grades, because that's what all the folks that really look at this issue, and there's a thing called the STEM Education Council, which is made up of all the big high-tech companies, Google, Microsoft, financial services companies, actually the American Farm Bureau is, believe it or not, is one of the participants in the STEM Education Council, because, again, it's something that employers, as I said, of almost every stripe are seeing as a really unmet need in terms of how our educational system is working. So I was very pleased that was incorporated into the law, along with the many other changes that I think, really responded to complaints from parents and educators and students about, how the education system was just being turned into this, high-stakes testing melodrama that really was kind of consuming the normal curriculum and normal pedagogy in terms of what goes on in schools. So, I could have written a few changes more if I had had the opportunity, but I really think when the president signed that bill last week, it was a good thing for the country.
I have a question for you. We know that when this thing was for No Child Left Behind or whatever you want to call it, Common Core, was first announced, everybody couldn't rush fast enough to get on board.
Right.
Legislatures, governors, here in New York State, Governor Cuomo heavily endorsing the whole thing. And then the tide changed and everybody ran like hell, from the whole thing. Is there a lesson to be learned in all of this?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, a modesty. Yeah. People have to realize that, you know, education is like a really complicated process, and that, you know, and that there's so much diversity in terms of, you know, the country as far as, you know, populations that go through the public school system, and that you do have to have some level of modesty in terms of whether or not, you know, Washington can sort of, you know, come up with one model to sort of, you know, run the whole system. And so, you know, they have these very rigid formulas for proficiency standards that, you know, is going to create 100% proficiency. Well-intentioned, totally impossible. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, nobody in their right mind, you know, thinks that you can ever create a system like that. And as a result, I mean, every school district was on a path to failure under the federal standards that were put into place, which is why we had this, you know, new phenomenon of federal waivers, where the U.S. Department of Education would grant a waiver to the state of Connecticut or the state of New York to avoid being in, you know, running afoul of the law. But as a result of those waivers, basically the Secretary of Education was in the catbird seat dictating, you know, what a state had to do in order to qualify for the waiver. So really for the last 5 years, we've had government by waiver in terms of education. Yeah, that's ridiculous. And this bill, you know, strikes that whole regimen that was sort of put into place. And it does provide more flexibility at the state level. Again, the concern, Alan, I think, is that, and that was where No Child Left Behind, I think, was really headed, at least in terms of the right general philosophy, which is that too many kids, in the name of, you know, flexibility, were getting lost, and that's why, you know, the philosophy of No Child Left Behind was put into place, that we really need to have a system where, you know, every kid is being tested and measured and helped. The problem is it was such a punitive structure that schools, you know, were going to be completely eliminated, and, you know, have to do all this, you know, high-cost remediation if you failed the testing system that was put into place. You know, it was like a terror system for school districts, you know, where, you know, every year's test turned into like this frenzy. In order to not sort of, you know, be just totally decimated by the Fed. So I think, you know, the lesson is that, you know, you've really got to handle this with care. And I am sure over the next 3 or 4 years, as this thing unfolds, there's going to be issues that are going to crop up. Hopefully Congress is not going to wait as long as we waited this time to revisit ESEA, which was, you know, started under President Johnson back in the 60s, and you know, I think was the right thing to do, that because education is really a national priority. You can't sort of view it all as just a totally local product. It, you know, there are too many things at stake in terms of our country to allow us to, you know, have that kind of you know, lackadaisical approach. So you know, In 5 years' time, 2020, I'm sure, you know, you'll have a similar interview, you know, talking about a new rewrite and some of the defects that were found in this one.
Yeah. Well, listen, that gives us a lot of information about what this is about. I have an education professor wife who was against the whole damn thing from the very beginning for all the reasons you've...
She was a prophet.
You've laid out. But there is a tension, because on the one hand, you want everybody to learn, you want to hold everybody accountable. And on the other hand, you don't want to throw the baby out with the dirty water. So there we are. Anyway, listen, thank you so much for being with us, Joe Courtney. When we come back the next time, let's talk about something that, you know, people don't really think about. Highways.
Sure.